Jesus. Amen. Who's ready for the word? Why don't we give the worship team cheers? Do you know, I'm just gonna brag on a couple of really good songs that came out of today. Tash's song and praise, and that's the second time we've done yours. That's brilliant, Pat. What a great worship song. Both of them awesome. I could have kept on going with that. Give them a hand as they take the seat. You may be seated. Turn to the person next to you and just say, you look better this week than last week. So many good things going. Don't forget, if you've got youth between year 5 and I think year 8, just head off to the cafe. There's a youth life group running. So everything's happening. Who's excited about next week? You know, there's so many aspects to next week. Number one, it's a night service. And I know for a huge, large slab of the population out there, they don't like to get up on a Sunday morning. And who finds it beautiful and natural just to spring out of bed on a Sunday morning? Raise your hand. Look at that. Yeah. Who was, be brutally honest, who struggles with that Sunday morning? So, there it is. I know, I drive past, I go take off, I get out early. I drive past and there's always some bloke scratching as he's getting his paper. And we still have that guy that delivers papers in our area with a whistle. How cool is that? Blakehurst, you rock. Blows the, he has his mum with him because he's just a young boy. Isn't that good? Your son goes and gets a job that you have to do every Sunday morning. Is that wisdom? I don't know. Certainly devotion. Hearing from God is a topic we've been talking about. And so I started last week, so I'm going to get into it because we didn't get far. And the first premise I wanted to lay down, first foundation that we talked about last week, is just the fact that God does want to speak to us. Amen? And you could think, well, that's crazy. That's going to be natural and normal. But when I say speak to us, I mean there has to be a two-way conversation. So if you are struggling to hear from God, then you should be annoyed about that. You shouldn't be satisfied with the fact that you're not hearing from God, because you're in relationship with Him. And last time I checked, when we understand what a relationship is about two people communicating. I'm married to my incredible, gorgeous wife, Marianne. But if we, give it a whistle. she hates that, but anyway. She's just ignoring me. She's used to it, many, many years. But if we just never talked, which for us guys could, you know, we could do that for a little bit, it wouldn't be a relationship, correct? You would go, you know what? You'd find yourself in front of Mona at our counseling center, going through some counseling, talking about communication because you and your spouse never talk. Like, you know, either you're talking and he's not listening, or he's talking and she's not listening, or she's talking and he's not listening, which is probably more the one. But, and so you would think there's something wrong, but I find the more I tap into Christians and the more I talk to them, there's actually quite a few people, if you actually ask them, are you hearing from God? They're like, oh, yeah, I think so. Or maybe I did way back. Or yeah, that's not good enough. Amen? God created us to be in a relationship, and a relationship is communication. It's two-way. We want to develop a desire to hear from God. So last week, I just wanted to begin with just convincing you that God does want to talk to you. He doesn't just talk to the pastor. Are you hearing me? If your relationship with God is based on what I'm sharing on a Sunday, that's part of it. But if that's what it comes down to, I want to challenge you to get out of that and get into something personal. Don't completely get out of that. I mean, stay here. This is part of what God is saying. But if that's all it is, man. Number one, God provided us access. Hebrews 10:19. He ripped the Holy of Holies. He changed a whole covenant, rewrote a covenant so that we could have personal access and communication with God. And it wasn't like it was, where a priest would go in, get a word, and everyone wait for that word. And a whole nation would just revolve around what the prophet said because he's the one that heard from God, or what the king heard. Are you hearing me? Or the priest heard. God's done away with all that, and he wants you to hear what he is saying. God always desired, number two, always desired to communicate with his children. Genesis, very, very, very beginning, walked in the cool of the evening. He was calling out for Adam and Eve, "Where are you guys?" It was all about relationship. He didn't create us so that we just run around like slave ants, doing his will. He created us because Father, Son, Holy Spirit found a desire that their relationship was so beautiful and so perfect, they wanted to extend it to us. Are you hearing me? And they involved us in that communication between Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We've been invited into that precious, intimate family and called children of God. Amen? That's a reason. Number three, God always intended to talk to us to fulfill his plans. You're not just a product of evolution. You didn't just crawl out of a sludge pond as some small enigma or some sort of cell and somehow explode into life. You're not that. You're predestined, planned, thought about. God knows you. He has a purpose. He's got the ability to go, "I am creating a Nan Rayner, and this is what she's going to do. She's going to be a strong woman of God. She's going to be a teacher. She's going to be involved in this area. I'm creating a Gareth." And he took some time over that. He says, "Man, I'm going to create him with an amazing mind." Amen. Or a Sheila who's just so positive and so full of the word and so faithful and incredible. And I could keep going, amen? Number four, God wants to guide and lead our lives and affect the course of our lives. So he needs to talk to us to do that. Jesus tells us in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." Hello. You know, we're sheep, you know, we get called sheep because he's our shepherd. But I tell you what, are you really a sheep? Because do you know the voice of God? Amen? There's so much more we talked about here, but we're going to keep going. So why is it difficult to hear God's voice? Why is it that we struggle with it? Why is it that we aren't just so clearly, our lives aren't in complete order and we've just, everything is a miraculous step. Why is it? Netflix, says Gareth. Part thereof, I'm sure. Because who desires in this place to hear from God? I know. It's not like there is a lack of desire in Christianity to hear from God. There really is a desire. So can we just traverse through some of the reasons? First one, because there are three voices to discern between when we're hearing from God. Three voices. This is where it gets a little complicated, right? So the first voice is God's voice. So I'm going to leave that alone because we'll talk about how you hear from God later on. Is that all right? And there's ways that God speaks to us. The second voice, everyone say the second voice, is our fleshly desire, our fleshly voice. Wow. I'm going to highlight on this sucker today. We're going to hone in on the flesh because you know what? He's a loud voice. He's got the megaphone sometimes, and he's going nuts. So let's just determine what it is first. Galatians 5:17. Pretty sure there's a scripture going up. Oh, there it is. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. That's just ruined it for a lot of you, right? The flesh, let me give you a definition as we sort of go into this. The definition of the word flesh, the Greek word flesh, is a New Testament, and it's, if you're Greek, I just apologize in advance. It's pronounced sark, a term that is often in Scripture refers to the physical body, but in Hebrews, it talks about it being the entirety of a person, their mind, their body. It becomes everything, their emotions. That's when we hear that word flesh, that's what it's talking about. It's talking about your emotions, your feelings, your affections, your mind, your body as well. It's a physical functioning entity. And this is Paul's thought. It's exactly what the flesh is. In a nutshell, let me tell you, give me an idea of what the flesh sounds like. The flesh relates to two things, your desires and your affections. That's the voice it has. Desires and affections. That's how it manifests itself. Your body, your mind, your emotions have desires. And they actually have a voice in your head. They have a voice in your body. And they are something that the Word of God says, when you read Galatians 5, saying, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit. Are you hearing me? So you've got this voice, you've got these flesh, you've got these urges, you've got these feelings, you've got these affections called the flesh. And they are born out of sin. We're going to go into that right now. Let me get there. Because you need to understand what's talking to you. Is this right? So let's understand where the flesh came from. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. Say Adam and Eve. Let's blame it on them. Their fault. We're all going to line up and want to kick them in the shins when we get to heaven. Be a queue a mile long. And it'll be poor Adam and Eve. It'll be walking up and they'll be like, all right, just get over and done with. Just bear in mind, if you were Adam and Eve, you would have blown it too, right? Are you with me? Would have just been a matter of time, but still, we could kick him in the shins. Boom. That's enough. Why did you do that? So what are the desires? Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh. So this, okay, we're going to describe these desires, these affections, these. This is a voice, it's an urge, it's a feeling. You know that whole thing of, I just couldn't help it. It was such an urge and a feeling and I had such a desire. That's a voice. And it has control, it has power in your body. And this is how it manifests itself. This is why it's contrary to God. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions and dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, reveries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand. Amen. So that's the works of the flesh. And so the flesh works within your desires and your feelings to hedge you towards these areas. So if you leave yourself un-God-influenced, it's a matter of time before your flesh heads down to one of these areas. Are you hearing me? Unchecked. And if you decide to live your life, there's no such thing as standing still. If you are not counteracting this. If you're not, then this is talking to you all the time. Are you hearing me? Your desires. And so this is the area that is big. This is the biggest battle for most people out there. These desires and affections are contrary to God. And these are voices that start to create ways of thinking. And you can feel something and you can turn that into a mindset. You can turn that into an argument within your own head. And they become very loud in someone's life and they take control. And so these voices can be quickly grouped. So the first one, verse 19, we just group them for you. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lewdness. They are sexual desires and affections, all right? The next group are selfishness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition. Most of those are birthed out of a selfishness. That flesh nature wants to do its own thing. And then the next one is not submitting to authority, which is dissensions and heresies. Dissensions is a God-ordained authority right across wherever it is. That's what dissension is when someone comes against that. And heresy is against the Word of God. Amen? You come up with something contrary to God's ordained authority. And then the others are by themselves. Envy, murders, self-control, drunkenness, and reveries are to do with self-control. They come under that aspect. So that's our flesh nature. It's bad, right? And this is the battle that believers have. And there's a voice. And this is where I think some Christians just get off track because they allow themselves to get so tapped into how they feel and their desires and their affections. And your own desires and affections become so loud in your mind that it drowns out the voice of God. It's gone quiet in here. This is the biggest battle. You know, this is a battle you'll battle all your life. Can I just say that? This is a battle I battle. This is a battle. There's no one perfect in this room. When you're talking the flesh, this is a battle. Paul said he battled it all his life. Are you hearing me? The greatest of the greatest battle this. This is the battle. But we're talking about hearing God here. But this battle has a voice. And when this gets involved, it can affect your decision-making in God. It can affect all sorts of decisions that are important to your life and they're important to you going ahead and entering to all that God has for you. Amen? This is normal. Something Paul puts it this way. I love him. Romans 7:18. Just before you think, wow, how are we going to do this? Paul talks about the struggle between the flesh and the Spirit of God. Romans 7:19, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but now to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do I do not do, but the evil I will not to do that I practice. Sound like anyone here? Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Amen? That's what it is. It's this flesh nature. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Verse 23, it's focused on this. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Look at verse 23 again. But I see another law at work in my body, warring against the law of my mind, holding me captive. So there's a voice of your desires that gets into your mind and starts to convince you that that these are what you need and this is how you should act and this is what you deserve and this is the best thing for you right now, and it can get to a place where it just speaks to you regularly. Amen? And this is where people open their lives up to this area of their life. For those who live according to the flesh, Romans 8:5 says, set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, set their mind on things of the Spirit. Are you okay? Take a deep breath. Can I just say, if we're trying to hear from God, be very careful of what you feel. Are you hearing me? Be very careful of your affections and what you feel. Someone comes to me and go, oh, Pastor, you know, I just feel that, you know, I've got to, you know, I've literally had someone who's told me that they feel they need to leave their wife and go after someone else. And they're trying to justify it God-wise. And I just said, but thank God. Because it's just a wrong, I don't doubt that you've heard that. I don't doubt that's become a loud voice in your head. But I do doubt that comes from God because it's contrary to the thing of God. Are you hearing me? And it's just, we live in a world where it just constantly, the enemy is doing everything he can to get people to live a life that just feels the way it feels good to them. It's a total bombardment. It's in every movie. It's in every, most ads out there are just bombarding us with this sense that you are in complete control of everything. You should do what you want. And God doesn't matter. I can tell you that your feelings lie, your affections lie, but God doesn't. Your feelings can be the most amazing things and your affections can be the most amazing things if they're grounded and based in God. Amen? Your life is supposed to have those things, but that's where you've got to be aware. That's where the flesh is, and that's the nature of the flesh, and its control is in that area. The third voice, everyone say the third voice we have to discern is that of the devil. Let me start with this statement. Can the devil control your mind? Well, he can if he possesses you, but I don't believe Christians can be possessed. They can be oppressed, but they can't be possessed. Amen? Spirit of God can't dwell in someone. So for an unsaved person, absolutely. There's some people out there, yeah, completely controlled by a demonic force. They tap out and the demonic force jumps in. So outside of being possessed, let's just look at this. The greatest strategy of the enemy, really, and the control he has. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 says, among whom the God of this age has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, so they would not see the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus, who is the image of God. The general pattern of the enemy is to create out there. He's scheming and he's working 24/7. To build an anti-Christ spirit out there. Antichrist doesn't mean 666, just the number of the beast and all that sort of stuff. Antichrist just means anti-God. Are you with me? He's trying to undermine, and he's constantly, whether he can do it through governments, whether he can do it through media, film, the arts, music, no matter what means he's got, he uses it, and he's constantly doing it 24/7, and that's the spirit that's of this world. That's his level of control, and he's at it all the time. And he's filtering everything through everything. That's why, look, I don't want to be that pastor that says what you should watch and what you shouldn't watch. But based on this, if you've got areas of weakness, don't watch Netflix in that area. Are you hearing me? If your area is the sexual side, then put a ban on anything. Just what reruns of the Waltons? Well, leave it to Beaver. Are you hearing me? How far back do you have to go before it becomes pure? I don't know. Just put it, if you're in that area and it's a big area in your life, then just turn it off. You're nuts, because the enemy will use that airwave to keep working and working and working his way on you. Are you hearing me? Working and working and working, and he'll do it through song. He'll do it through signs. He'll do it through people. He'll do it through any way he can. He uses that airwave. He uses that, no matter what area. You know, if you've, man, if you, you know, violence, I like a good action movie. So I'm not going to go down the road and just tell you exactly what's wrong or what's right. I don't know what affects me. I know when I can't watch horror and the demonic, that just does something to my spirit. I can't sit there. I don't know. But I do know some Christians who can. So I don't know. But, you know, a good brave heart, it's just such a good movie. And, you know, bad people sometimes do need to be hit. I don't know. I'm just, that's my level. But if you know, this whole area, if you've got violence in you and you've got, your flesh is at that level and there's outbursts of anger and everything, then you need to turn that sucker off. Stop watching UFC. Are you nuts? If you've got a lot of anger issue and you're all that and you start watching cage fighting every week, well, that's going to be good. Should be watching Dr. Phil and relationships and going through all of that. Just turn some of this off and just go, you know what? Man, this is not good for my flesh. It's a loud voice in my head, and it's time to delete that from Netflix. However you do that, put the child filter on. Watch Disney movies. Is this okay? The enemy works through the airways. It's obvious. You don't have to be an absolute full-on theologian to look out there and be spiritually discerning and see that the enemy is doing everything he can to get us, our flesh, enticed. Whether it's anger. I mean, some of those, honestly, if you look down to lewdness and out of control, where are we, Galatians, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, just watch one episode of Housewives, of Atlanta or Melbourne or whoever. And it's just like, it's out of control, right? These are growing women that we put up there and they're scrapping, almost pulling each other's hair out. And you're just like, there's a Proverbs one just there. Are you with me? I'm not going to be that one who's going to come into your house and look at your viewing. But I tell you what, if you've got some issues in these areas, then you need to make some decisions, because they're just going to make your flesh voice louder and your God voice smaller. Are you with me? And there's differences in this room. That's why I can't talk about. Some of you with the sexual side, no big deal. Got it under control. Some of you, the anger side, no big deal, got it under control. Some of you, whatever. It's different things going on. That's why you talk to God. God will give you that conviction in your spirit. Amen? The devil cannot take over our minds as Christians. That's comforting to know, isn't it? We look at Judas just for an example. Judas, John chapter 13, it says, the evening meal was in progress and the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, that he should betray Jesus. That infers that the devil had been working on Judas for quite a long time. And there's hints of it through things he said about money and other things, and about how Jesus should be running his operation and how he should be doing things differently. And then we see way back in John 13:27, and Jesus took a piece of bread, Satan entered into him. He became basically possessed. The devil uses flaming arrows. Ephesians 6:16 speaks of flaming arrows sent by the wicked one. And they talk about arrows of temptation and doubt. Amen? Temptation. The enemy just gets behind what your flesh is weak in. That's, he's going to tempt you in an area that he knows your flesh is weak in. And he's not a rocket. He can just work it out. He can see, he knows you. He knows what you're weak in, and he'll just happen to do whatever he can externally to bring that apart, bring that around your life. Are you with me? He seeks to influence the nature that's around your world. And Genesis, you can see how Satan operates when he's talking to Eve. Genesis 3, now the serpent was more shrewd than any wild animal. We're going to understand it's what the devil is smart, that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, is it really true that God said you must not eat of any tree of the orchard? First of all, he just brings doubt into your mind. Doubt about God. Doubt about his word. Doubt about whether, you know, these intentions. These aren't wrong intentions. These desires aren't wrong desires. They're just your desires. There's nothing wrong with them. Are you sure? And he starts to bring that. And if you don't have a good, constant connection with the word, this stuff starts to sound right. And we hear, so the devil sows doubt. Verse 2, the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit from the trees of the orchard, but considering the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the orchard, God said, you must not eat from it and you must not touch it or else you will die. So she fires back with the word of God. She fires back with the truth. And then the devil grabs that and goes, ooh, the serpent said to this woman, surely you will not die. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like divine beings who know God, good and evil. So the devil starts to appeal to her desires. I don't know what was going on, but she had some desires. They're probably walking with God a lot. Suddenly got a bit familiar and realized, well, you know, can we do this? Is this something we can do? Then verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree produced fruit that was good for food, listen to this, was attractive to the Eve, and was desirable for making one wise. Bang. Trap set. Devil said it. She had some desires going on. She had some stuff. Bang. Clapped. And she does the wrong thing. The rest is history. Correct? Do you know what? He's still doing the same. He's rolling that puppy out all the way through every life out there. He's putting it into you. Same trap. Worked very, very effectively in the Garden of Eden, and he had to work against a perfect environment with us and our perfection and everything going on, and it worked for him there. Guess what? He's going to keep trying that one and trying that one now. Okay? And so we need to realize that she got involved in the desires and the affections, and it opened door. James chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. There's at the time. James chapter 4, verse 7 to 8 says, promises us that if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. Amen? James 4, verse 7, so submit to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and make your hearts pure, you double-minded. The final way the devil can influence us is just opening yourself up and tampering with demonic things. That's crazy stuff, right? If you're a believer in this place and you're starting to tap into tarot cards, or you decide to go to your neighbor's seance and you just want to do something like that, you're a nutcase. I can't say it any other way. I can't be more honest and open than that. You are opening a door and entering into it. That is just stupidity. Because what's inside of there, all you're talking to, you're not talking to grandmother, you're talking to a demon. Just picture your grandmother dress, your demon with a grandmother's outfit on. That's who you're really talking to. Amen? And it's not going to be good, it's not going to be real, and it's all to destroy you. It comes from the pit of hell. So if any Christian, if you're in the verge of your edge of your Christianity, and you've somehow, someone, you might go to someone and say, oh, I've been spiritually awakened to God. They go, oh, great, I was spiritually awakened last week. Come with us to our house. And you go there and you walk in there and there's a board and there's a cup, or there's four people with a table and it's moving. Get out of there. First of all, say in the name of Jesus. Pray the spirit departs in the name of Jesus. Take authority over it and then walk out. That'll ruin their seance. Amen? Don't get involved in that. That stuff is just out of control. And if you've had some involvement in that, you know, oh, come and talk to us. There's some stuff that we just want to pray through with you to get rid of all of that. You don't have to be afraid of the enemy. The Word of God says, right? Resist the enemy and he shall flee. He's more afraid of us. Why don't we stand to our feet? When he got to that, we've got so much more. But why don't we just, for a moment, why don't we just stop, pause for a moment right here, every eye closed. And I want to talk into relationship. It is the absolute, absolute pinnacle of all that we do in this place. Sure, we feed people. Sure, we counsel and we look after people. Sure, we have activities. And sure, we have kids and youth and everything. But I can tell you the basis, the foundation, all of that is wrapped around the fact that we see people come into relationship with Christ. And that you would be open and honest. And if you're in this room and you've got any doubt about your relationship, any doubt, if your mind is not convinced that you're in relationship with God, if your heart's not convinced, I want you to be convinced today. I want you to know that you are a child of God. And I think there's, you know, there's that person that really is in doubt because they've maybe never prayed a sincere prayer to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I'm going to give you an opportunity in a moment. Or maybe there's that other person and honestly, you've made a decision, but you've just been walking and living and not communicating and you've been away from God and it's an opportunity for you today to rededicate yourself afresh to Jesus. And so I'm going to pray this prayer and because this is, our Christianity is about a powerful, intimate, amazing relationship with Jesus. And so with every eye closed, and if you are one of those two people, I want you to pray this prayer with all sincerity. And we're all, every one of us in this room, we're going to pray this prayer together. Dear Lord Jesus, I accept you today as my personal Lord and Savior. I accept that I have a relationship with you today. I give you my life. I give you my heart. I accept your grace and your mercy over my sin. I accept that I live forgiven. And I repent of all my sin. I accept today I'm a child of God. That eternity is placed in my heart. That my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I love you, Jesus. Come into my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Every eye closed. If you said that as a rededication or for the first time, either or, just raise your hand. Come on, raise one hand in the air just so we can see it. Just want to make sure. We're just going to pray. I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front. I'm just going to pray with you afterwards and maybe minister you to you and talk with you. Okay. Amen. Keep your eyes closed. God, we just... I pray that over this series, God, that there is just a desire to hear your voice. God, to hear you daily. God, to discern your voice. To know, God, to know your leading in our lives. In every aspect, God, whether we're a parent or a career person or ministry or whatever we're doing, we are desperate to hear from you, God. And God, we just pray that your voice would become clearer and clearer, that a desire in this place would grow and grow and grow, and you would flame that desire just to hear you and meet with you and to hear your voice. God, your word says that your sheep hear your voice. And God, we want to be, you are our shepherd, and we want to be led by you. We want our lives to show that they are led by you. God, your word says that the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. And God, we pray, Father God, as we draw near to you, God, that we would see the effect of that right across our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Beautiful. So for homework, talk to God. Is that all right? We'll continue. We'll keep talking more about it. And don't forget, please, this is a big week. And if you're, you know, we had our, last Monday night, we had our college. We're starting. And at the moment, we've got something like 30-odd people interested in being part of this college. So we're doing a gathering afterwards just up there in the youth area. And if you're part of that or you're putting your forms in, come and see us. Sound good? Brilliant. New Christians with Beth and Chris Savolos up the back there. They're going to take off right now and you'll get a coffee delivered to you direct. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a great rest of your week. Life groups this week. Make sure you're part of a life group. And don't forget next Sunday and Sunday night.